It's the Lonnie Hunter Show on Praise Your Inspiration Station. And family, listen, we have been talking about it for the last several weeks. The Ferguson shooting, the whatever you want to use semantically to talk about Michael Brown and him losing his life from the policeman shooting him. All right. But there's a man that I wanted to bring to the table with his expertise, because a lot of things have come out in recent days that we have got to look at and see how it affects the landscape of this case. Attorney Michael Cord is here with us. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Good to see you. Listen, he is a criminal defense attorney, 20 years in the business. First of all, let me congratulate you. 20 years in anything is a full accomplishment.
Thank you, sir.
Man.
Thank you.
And I wanted to bring you in because a lot of people who listen to the news stations, mm-hmm. a lot of people who watch TV, you know, we get snippets mm-hmm. and we get little pieces of information that many times is spoken in the layman's, not in layman's term, but in
Good
the
point.
Terms of a lawyer.
Good point.
So we lose it.
Absolutely.
Talk to me about the pace in which the justice system moves. Let's start there, because he laid in the ground for so long,
mm-hmm.
and the family had to wait so long before they were able to lay him to rest.
Yep.
And we have no idea how long it's going to take before we get any kind of verdict on whether or not the policeman will be charged. Talk to us about that.
Well, first of all, Lonnie, thank you for having me on your show. I really appreciate it when I get a chance to speak to folks like you who have a wide audience mm-hmm. and folks want to hear, and you're doing a great service to the community. First of all, I want to say that I have been practicing for a long time, and I appreciate your introduction, but I always tell people that I am not a lawyer who happens to be a black man. Instead, I'm a black man who just mm-hmm. happens to be a lawyer. So I'm going to give folks the information, but from a black perspective. First of all, in regard to your question, the legal system moves very, very, very slowly.
Mm-hmm.
So if folks are expecting some quick justice here, they're going to be disappointed. Where we are now in the process is this. We're at the grand jury proceeding stage.
Correct.
And what that means is this. It sounds kind of complicated. Missouri is really strange. Most grand juries have at least 20 to 21 persons. That's why they call them grand. The mm-hmm. standard jury is called a petite jury. That's 12 jurors and two alternates. But Missouri has something else going on, because they only have 12 jurors on its grand jury.
Wow.
Of those 12 grand jurors, 9 are white and 3 are black. Not mm-hmm. a good sign already.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the major problem. The way that you prosecute somebody is one of two ways. One, through a grand jury proceeding, or other, through what they call an information.
Mm-hmm.
This case should clearly be an information. Information is just where the prosecutor comes in and say, hey, that looked like a crime to me. I'm going to arrest this person and start the process. As simple as that.
Mm.
That's the information. They filed this document called an information saying, hey, there was a crime committed. I think you did it. Let's start the process. Why not do that here? So they chose not to do that. They went to the grand jury proceeding, and that's designed to politically pass the buck. The grand jury sits there as a blank slate. The prosecutor walks in the room and presents them with whatever he or she wants to or chooses not to present them with. So the grand jury is simply, like I said, a blank slate. They take what they get from the prosecutor and they run with it. But the question is this. What if this prosecutor, Robert McCulloch, who has a horrible reputation sure. on racial issues, what if he only gives them a little bit or part of it or half of it? Now the grand jury has nothing. Two questions for any grand jury. One, is there any evidence that a crime was committed? Two, is there probable cause to believe that this guy did it? That's what they have to do. But the question is, what is the prosecutor going to show the grand jury? Again, this guy, Robert McCulloch, has a horrible reputation. So he could show them something as serious as first-degree murder,
mm-hmm.
which simply means premeditated.
Right.
Initially, it was said that there were 6 or 7 shots. Now we're up to 10 to 12.
Correct.
And not only that, but 10 to 12 with a pause.
Mm-hmm.
What does a pause mean? A pause means you shot the guy, he's going down, you reload or think about it and shoot him again.
Mm-hmm. Or walk towards him.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm glad you said, Lonnie, walk toward me. So all that shows, as I said, the prosecution can show that everything I just laid out and show, because there was what we lawyers call premeditation.
Mm-hmm.
Premeditation makes it into a first degree murder. What's premeditation? Thought beforehand, no matter how short. So if I think about it and then do it, it's premeditation. That's first-degree murder. The DA or the prosecutor can go at the top of the list, first-degree murder, all the way down to the bottom of the list, which is involuntary manslaughter.
Okay, and before you go on, I want to just go back.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Because when you talk about the prosecutor being able to choose what he wants the grand jury to hear.
Yes, sir.
It's not like the grand jury lives under a rock. They mm-hmm. watch TV like we watch mm-hmm. TV. They get the news like we get the news.
Yes.
So my question is, even though he submits what he wants them to have, why wouldn't they ask for what they know to be out there?
Lonnie, great question. They should. Many of them do. But sometimes people are intimidated by the process. This process of the grand jury is nothing special relative to the regular jury. It's not like the grand jurors are law professors or attorneys or scholars. It's regular people like the regular juries. So you would think that one of the grand jurors might pose the question you just posed, but there's no obligation for them to do so. They would be inclined to pose that kind of question just like a regular jury would. And if it's anybody that has any sense, they should. Will they? Because, again, there's 9 whites and 3 blacks. I'm not sure.
What makes you grand then?
Great question. The regular jury process is called a petite jury. That's 12 jurors and 2 alternates. Mm-hmm. The grand jury usually has, at least in Pennsylvania, 21 larger. So grand simply means larger, but they only got 12 in Missouri. So I don't understand why they do it that way, because it's the same number of grand jurors in Missouri as there are in petite juries.
I have a semantical problem, and I just want to make sure that everybody understands. The word grand, when you use it, only refers to the amount of people on the jury. Has nothing to do with your qualifications or you being any more well-versed in this process than anybody else.
Lonnie, well said. You must be a student of Malcolm. He talks about making it plain. Right. You just made it plain, very plain. And one thing I want to be clear, what the grand jury does is pretty much investigates based on the information given to them. That's what a grand jury does. Their ultimate goal is to decide, yes, there was a crime, prosecute. No, there wasn't a crime, don't prosecute. That's the grand jury. Petite jury, they get all the evidence and ultimately decide guilty or not guilty.
When you ask for a prosecutor to step down, and you ask for that just based on public popularity of him wanting to of them wanting him to step down, but he says no. The governor says no, he's not going to make him step down. How does he step down?
It's all political. That's the problem. From a legal standpoint, unless you can show that that prosecutor is somehow directly involved in the case as an eyewitness, as a potential defendant, that's a legal issue. And then that person will have to, what we lawyers call, recuse himself or excuse or remove himself. That's the legal issue. But if it's simply that, hey, this guy, Robert McCulloch, he doesn't treat black people fairly, or he had a relative who was attacked by a black guy, so he has a bias. All those things are true. But now you can't really go into a courtroom and make that argument. It has to be political pressure, because prosecutors are politicians. They run for office. If they test the political wind and see that most people don't like the fact that this guy is doing it, they'll replace him.
Now, if that be the case, then why the mayor and the councilman and your Al Sharptons and your Jesse Jacksons making such a big deal about him stepping down? If it's a political thing and just because you say it doesn't make any difference, why are they saying it?
That's a great question, Lonnie. I think they're hoping that by saying it, and what they're saying is right, it'll boil up with so much community unrest and national unrest that that office will be getting 50, 100, 1,000 calls a day, people saying, step down, step down. So if there's enough political pressure that's generated by the people like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, maybe it'll happen. And I'm sure if they're smart enough, and groups like the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, a group of progressive lawyers nationwide, if there's any potential legal issue, they're going to be raising trouble in the courtroom, and the Al Sharptons and Jesse Jackson will be raising trouble in the streets. So with the two-prong approach, maybe it'll work.
Hindsight being 2020, and we're going to let you go. Our time is running out. But hindsight being 2020, every case that we have seen like this, everyone has gotten off. What makes this case any different?
Sadly, nothing makes it different. I mean, we look at the Sean Bells, the Amadou Diallos, the Oscar Grants, the Eleanor Bumpers. I can go on and on and on. That's why I tell black people it's so important to vote, because many people, especially the activists and the revolutionaries, they say the system is corrupt. I'm going to step outside of it. That's the worst thing you can do. By voting, you increase your chances of being on a jury. Also, by voting, you can determine who the prosecutor is going to be.
Okay.
So I'm not optimistic about the outcome, but I am optimistic about this case being the lightning rod to force black people to register to vote, to get on juries. And the key thing, Lonnie, is to get on juries. As a lawyer for more than 2 decades, I find generally that the white people who come in fight to get on the juries. The black people who come in fight to get off the juries.
To not have to take off
work. Yes, yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, if this is not a grassroots perspective on this whole case, I don't know what is. And I definitely want you to make sure that you keep your eyes and your ears open and educate yourself on everything that's going on. Don't just take it for face value.
Yes.
Attorney Michael Cord, criminal defense attorney over 20 years. I want to thank you for coming in and sharing with us. All right.
Lonnie, thank you very much, and keep up the great work for the community.
It is the Lonnie Hunter Show on Praise.